I love that sound of the children going up. The first half of my life was spent loading and unloading cattle. And that's about the way it sounds when the steers are going up the ramp into the truck and back out. So those are our little calves, our little beceros y beceras. Amen. And they're going up and coming down. It's just, I don't know, it's just a nice sound to my ears. Okay, let's change the subject before I get silly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to break bread of life that comes from your word. I pray that you'll anoint all that we do and say today, that it be a blessing and a strength to your people, and that it bring glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to share some things with you today from the Word of God is concerning the term born again. I'm going a different route than I've went before on this particular subject, and I'll use some familiar scriptures, but I've got something churning in my heart that I need to develop as we move through this morning. And if you've ever been around church or Christians, you've heard the term born again. Anyone here never heard the term born again? You never heard it? Everybody's heard born again. How about words like saved? You need to be saved, you know. Converted. There's these various biblical terms. And sometimes the terms sound so religious that we just want to run backwards. But if you dig into the meanings of these terms, there's rich, meaningful definition that can be found. And when it comes to being born again, I could just hear the guy that says, well, I'm a good person. And if God's really a good God, he's not going to hurt me because I'm a good person. I mean, I buy Girl Scout cookies. I attend all the ball games at school. And once in a while, you know, when I'm on my way into Walmart, I'll drop a couple of quarters into the little red bucket of the guy jingling the bells. You know, I'm okay. I'm a good person. If God's good, he'll accept me, you know. And so the person's saying, you need to be born again. And he's going, why? Give me a break. What's that mean? Well, you know, Jesus ran into that in John chapter 3, if you'd like to follow along. John chapter 3, Jesus ran into a person who was asking the why when he heard the term born again. So let's just read this account. We'll start in chapter 3 of St. John, and we're going to move down through about 12 verses. I think it'll be coming up. Is it already up faster than me, huh? Okay, I'm going to read it out of mine. Are we on New King James this morning? Yeah. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, I could spend some time on him, but I won't spend a lot of time. First of all, he's of the Pharisees. That's a strong, powerful religious cult among the Jews. And if you didn't belong to their group, you're bad news. They were very legalistic and very religious. And he was a ruler. Keep that in mind. Everybody say he was a ruler. Because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. In verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, back to everybody say, he's a ruler. As a ruler of the Jews, he was familiar with the term born again. Because as a little Jewish boy, when he had bar mitzvah at age 12, they would declare at the end of that ceremony, you have been born again. He said, well, I've been there and done that. Well, as he moved up through life, and as he got married, at the end of the marriage ceremony, the rabbi would say, "You have been born again." So I got it. I've been there, done that. Yeah. Now, it said here in this first verse that he was a ruler among the Jews. Well, when one was designated or ordained to be a ruler in the priesthood and among the Jews, at the end of that ceremony of setting him in office in the synagogue, at the end of that ceremony, it was declared over him, "You have been born again." And so, and there was a couple of more processes in the Jewish religion that used that term, born again. And so he was familiar with the term. And so what he's saying here in verse number, pause. We're coming right back. "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of Jesus," I will get this straight if I have to do it five times. Number three again, "Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Okay, so he knew all the Jewish traditional ways to be born again. He had fulfilled that. Been there, done that. And so he's saying, what am I going to do? Get back in my mama's womb? It's the only thing left for me to do to be born again. That's a legitimate question, isn't it? And, you're not encountering a lot of Jewish people of the Jewish faith here in this community, but you will encounter many people, both religious and non-religious, churchgoers and non-churchgoers, saints and sinners. You'll encounter people that are going to look at you funny if you say you need to be born again. They're going to go, what? My mama wouldn't like that. So, we need to know something about these terms, right? So that we can share with the world around us what we're talking about when we say to them, you need to get born again. Everybody said, yeah. Well, Jesus goes on here in verse 5. He says, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit." In other words, born of mama and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, mama, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now Nicodemus by this time is scratching his head going, how do I get into this spirit thing? How's this going to work? And number 7, Jesus says, "Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." And he's saying here, to be born again, you need to be born of the Spirit. Amen. Nicodemus answered and says in verse 9, "How can these things be?" How is this going to work? And if you're talking to some guy on the street about this, he's probably going to say to you, how does this work? If you're making any sense at all, you're going to have to explain to me, how does this work? Amen. Jesus says in verse 10, "Are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say unto you, we speak that what we know and testify and what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Jesus realized that Nicodemus needed to come over into spiritual thinking in order to understand this terminology. Amen. And so, I want us to look at some reasons why we need to be born again. Well, first of all, Jesus said you need to, and he the boss. Huh? Come on. You need to get that settled in your heart right now. Jesus is the boss. He knows best. Father knows best. Amen. And so, if we obey him, we'll find favor with him, and that's good. If there's anybody out there you want to find favor with, it's God. Amen. And so, you need to be saying, if you haven't already, you need to be saying, well, I want to obey Jesus. I want to please him. I want to find favor with him. So, how can I do this born-again thing? Good question. Glad you asked. Amen. Now, I'm going to pause here just a minute in my own thoughts. I believe there's a lot of people that are born again and they just don't realize it yet because they don't know what it means. Really. I really believe there's a lot of people born again by their belief in the Lord and by their confession of faith, but you know they don't know that's a part of the process of being born again. They haven't been taught. Amen. Let's move along. What should I expect to experience? Why should I be born again? And what should I expect to experience? Well, first of all, I'd like to say it's process. You're going to begin to experience process. Your first thing in your process is to be hungry for God and realize I need more out of life. And that, you know, and then you start seeking God. Start looking into His Word and seeking His will for your life. Start talking to Him in prayer even before you really know Him. You know, let your personal faith start reaching towards Him and saying, I need God. I need some God here. I don't understand it. I don't know where I'm going. I've never been here before, but I need some God. I just know that. Well, that's your first step in process towards being born again. And when you hear the Word of God, such as you are hearing at this moment, this word is going to activate or spark the faith that's already in you. The Word of God tells us that each man is given a measure of faith. Faith for what? Faith to be born again. Faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Faith to believe in the Son of God. To believe that He died for your sins and that He holds nothing against you because His blood paid the price for your sin. Did you know you can't pay for your own sins? You can't walk on your knees through glass far enough to pay for your own sins. It's a faith move. It's a faith move. And the only place you need to be on your knees is before God, whether it's at the bedroom, at home, or up here at the church. Get on your knees before God and say, Jesus, help me. He will. He will. Another thing you can expect is a desire to have more out of life. I mean, God has good things in store for us, and we need to start expecting, you know, I need more out of life. You know, I've been going nowhere fast, been going in circles long enough. I need something better than where I've been. Well, that's another part of the process. Once you realize that and start seeking God, things will turn around for you. I want you to turn to Romans 10, verse 8. We're going to look at that. I guess you've already found it looking on the board up there, huh? On the monitor. I really am faster than the monitor. I just don't want to make it look bad. Where am I? Romans 10. Let's go 8 through 17. I think that's what I've got lined up. Are we ready? That's not correct. I'll get there. I'm faster than the monitor. Verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, I'm preaching this morning, and I'm preaching the word of faith to you. And that word is already in your mouth and in your heart. All you have to do to activate it is just start speaking and believing. It's not hard to get born again. And number 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved or born again. How many here this morning would say, I believe in the Lord Jesus? Yeah. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Yeah. Okay, say that. Say, I believe in you, Jesus. Everybody say it. I believe you were raised from the dead. You're well on your way. If you said that with heart, if you said that believing, you're well on your way to experiencing the new birth. And keep in mind its process. You may come to the point, you will come to the point where your spirit man has yearned for God and by faith accepted God, and you begin to believe, I've been born again. Something's happening on the inside of me. I've been born again. But you're still physical, and your physical body could still go to the grave. So that part of you has not quite yet been born again. But we're going to get to that too, because there's coming a day when you will have the completeness of the process of the new birth. And one day Jesus will, at his coming and at the resurrection, he will change your body to be like his, and it won't get hurt anymore. That's a promise that we have from him. And even those in the grave can't prevent that. We're taught from the Word of God that even those in the grave will hear the shout of the Lord as he returns. And they're going to come up out of that grave a new person. Born again, completely, fully, absolutely. Free as a bird and flying like an angel. Amen? I mean, so, that's another good reason to get born again. You don't have to burn. You get to fly in the sky. Amen. Everybody's happy. I can tell by the look on your face. Now, what else do I expect in this born again experience? I want you to turn to 1 John, the little book of 1 John 3:14. If I quit looking it up and just look up here, I'll get there faster, wouldn't I? Now we know we have passed. We what? Somebody say what those first two words are. What is it? We think. We're thinking about this. We know. Thank you. We know we've passed from death unto life. You could change this and not hurt God's feelings to read, we know we have passed from death unto the new birth, new life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. I love this scripture because all my life my dad preached this one strong. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my dad came to the Lord, started going to church, started serving God. And soon after that, he came to a place of doubt in his heart. And he said, Lord, am I really born again? I don't feel it. You know, I'm still doing things I shouldn't do, thinking things I shouldn't think. Lord, it just seems like maybe I haven't really got a good grip on the born again thing. Maybe I'm not really saved, as they put it. Lord, could you send me an angel? Could you show me a vision? He said, Lord, I need to know. Is there something else I need to do? And the Holy Spirit directed him in his daily reading to this particular scripture, and it said so clearly, we know that we've been passed from death to life, that we've been born again because we love the brother. And he thought about that and he meditated on it. He said, you know, I do love people more than I ever have. I'm loving people that don't even deserve love. I'm loving people that I don't understand why I would love that person. I'm even loving church people. And those, they're just, you know, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And it dawned on him, deep in his spirit, he realized, I have been born again. I am on the right track because I love people. You can expect to start loving people you never loved before. And that's because the love of God is in you. And he's changing your person to be a lover like he is, unconditional. Everybody's going, yeah, good preaching. You can expect to believe and place your confidence in God's word. Part of the process of being born again is a hunger for the Word of God. And you'll find yourself opening that Bible that you never did open before. And if you're in these first stages of this particular phase, I want to encourage you to stick with the New Testament for the most part. The whole Bible is for us. It's so important. But the New Testament is so today with what God's doing with His people. You know, as you grow in the Lord, the Old Testament will become easier for you to understand and find its definition, and it's, you know, it's great. But as a new Christian that's just been born again, focus and spend the most of your time in the New Testament, and it'll help enrich your understanding of the whole Scripture. So part of your process of what to expect is you'll start believing and placing your confidence in His Word. You'll read something out of the Word and go, ooh, that's cool. I believe I could live with that. Amen. Let's look at John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, who believes in my Father, he has everlasting life, new birth, and shall not come into judgment, but he has passed from death unto life. Okay, let's just shorten this, make it easy. He who hears my word and believes in God has passed from death unto life. Part of your new birth experience is believing in God. And all of a sudden, things just start working better. Hallelujah. The Scripture tells us that only a fool would say there is no God. Look at St. John 15, 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. In your new birth experience, you're going to begin to realize that as precious as your life is, you would be willing to lay it down for your friends. And we don't want to go there, do we? But there's people going there today somewhere. And those that are laying down their lives for the gospel's sake and for their belief in Christ, those that lay down their lives for their very friends and family, there's no greater love than that. No greater love. Are you willing? You willing to do that? Huh? You're well into the process. If somebody says, well, you're not saved yet, you can say, well, I'll be willing to lay my life down for you. That's all the evidence that God needs. Some religious person says you're not saved yet because you haven't fit a certain formula or said a certain amount of words according to his plan and formula. You know, he said, well, you're not saved yet. You don't go to my church. You can just say to that person, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And God says, you're on it, brother. You're born again. You've got new life. Everybody's saying, amen. You guys are so quiet. I guess you're thinking, aren't you? There's a whole lot about being born again we don't yet know. Because God's way of doing things is just full of experience after experience of good, wonderful things to change us and to clean us up, and to set us straight, to get our head screwed on right. God's at work. Look at somebody and say, God's working on you. You can expect much of your life to change for the better. It will not be a perfect life. Every bed of roses has thorns. But things will change for the better your response to hard times will be a better response. You, after you're born again, you give your life to the Lord. You make up a decision, a public declaration and decision before God and family. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to start living this born-again thing. I'm going to start living like a saved person. You know, there's still going to be some stuff thrown at you that you won't like. But your response is everything to God. And when your response prefers your brother and shows love in the face of an enemy, God says you're on the right track. What has happened when you're born again, what happens is you come into a spiritually higher realm of life. Now, because we are so human, we still struggle with the spiritual realms. But that is temporary, because the spiritual realms of God is where we come from and where we're going. And what we have here is temporary and changeable and adjustable. We're in preparation for better things, friend. We're in preparation for heavenly home. We're in preparation for a body that's like Jesus' body. That's going to be so much fun. I've always wanted to run through the wall without hurting myself. John 15:18, you need to see this whether you like it or not, because you need to know what to expect when you make up your mind you want to be born again. John 15:18-19, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And then he said, is 19 coming up? If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. When you make a stand for Jesus, there will be people who do not like it. They'll say you're crazy, you know, tilt, you've messed up, you've gone religious, you're out there in the wrong field, you know, you're smoking the wrong color of weed, something. Everybody won't like your born-again experience, the new you. And sometimes it's people that are closest to you. Not always. But I've seen that happen so many times. Sometimes the people that are the closest to the person, you know, they just... I don't want to go there. You can expect to be hated by somebody. Why? Because they hated Jesus. But your response is everything. Jesus said clearly, pray for your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. And say all manner of evil against you. That's not easy, is it? But we can do it. Because we've been born again. We're not living for the old man anymore. We're living for the new man. The new girl. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me go a little further into this. I'm just learning as I go. This is great. I want us to take a peek at John 4:24. God is spirit. You know, I don't have to tell you that God is not a rock or an image or hand carved. You know, he's not molded. He's a spirit. And those who worship him must worship, how? In spirit and in truth. One of the beautiful things about being born again is that it moves you into a higher realm of life, spiritually speaking, and you now become qualified at worship of God. For the person who is not born again, who we might call the sinner who's rebellious against God, could never worship God because they're not in that spirit realm. But once you have made a commitment to Christ and come into the spirit realm, you qualify, you're ready to worship God, and there's just something in you that wants to worship Him. You may want to raise your hands and shout. You may want to run down the alley and kick up your heels so nobody's looking. You know, you may want to get on your knees and cry like a baby, but you're going to find a way to worship God. You're going to find a way to prostrate yourself before Him and just seek His face. You're going to find a way to repent and say, Lord, I really am sorry. You got to do something about this junk. I really am sorry, Lord. You know, even that is worship. Anything you lay before the throne of God in yourself or something from yourself is an act of worship. Worship is all not just, it's not all just, you know, singing in church. Worship, the biggest and best and most precious form of worship, is when you and God are alone in that car going down the road. I'm telling you, hallelujah. We're happy, aren't we? Born again invites the Holy Spirit of God to enter our very person. And we invite the Lord, Lord, come and be a part of my human spirit. He needs help. In some cases, she needs help. This is for communication with God. Communication with God is how we worship Him. There's many forms of worship. But bottom line, communication is worship. Communication is acknowledging that He is. Let's move along to Hebrews 12, first two verses. Therefore also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Remember I said it was a process? Well, here it says it's a race. Looking unto Jesus, who is what? Who? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I like this author and finisher of our faith. Remember, I quoted a scripture earlier where God has given every man, every woman, a measure of faith, enough faith to accept Him, enough faith to believe in Him, enough faith to be born again. See? Well, Jesus is the author of that faith. It was His idea first. And then you pick up on it and start walking in it. And then He's the finisher of that faith. And He says, I'll see you through to the end. And I'll see your born again experience through to the end, till one day you have a body like mine at my return. It's going to be so good. Yeah. What's our next scripture there, Chris? Romans, oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Let's just play with that a little bit. Romans 10, 11 through 13. Let's do this. The scripture says, whosoever believes on Him, everybody say the Him's Jesus. Everybody whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to know how to get saved? Buddha, I need you! Money, I need you! How do you get saved? Do you do it like this? Jesus, are you there? Jesus, are you there? Where'd you go?
No lo creo.
I don't think so. He who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, get me out of this mess. That sounds kind of disrespectful, but aren't we? When you call on the name of the Lord, that's part of your born again process. That's part of being saved. Call on Him, and the first scripture said you won't be ashamed. You call on Him, you won't be ashamed. There's no shame in calling on the Lord for help. No shame in calling on the Lord for help. And it says, goes on to say, if you call on Him, you're going to be saved. He's going to do something about your mess. He's so good. All the time, He's so good. 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 I mean, how long would it take for Mauro to come up here and tell you how many times God got him out of a mess? Huh? How about Juanito? Juanito, it'd take you an hour and a half plus 4 days just to tell us all the messes you got out of, but calling on the Lord. Huh? Listen. We're not perfect. We're just born again. Yeah. Who had a baby recently? Anybody here have a baby in the last couple of years? Anybody? 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. There's one. Everybody, there's one. Was that baby born perfect? I mean, you know, of course he was, you sweet little perfect thing. It looked just like your daddy. Yeah. That baby has to learn. That baby has to grow. That baby has to be taught. That baby needs a spanking once in a while. In love, not too hard, do it right. Huh? Well, your new baby, that new you, has to grow, has to learn. And your Father God may even give you a little paddling once in a while when you need it. And you'll find yourself on your knees repenting, Lord, I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry. That's all part of the process. When you've realized these things are happening in your life, honey, you've been born again whether you know it or not. It's a good thing I'm wearing a jacket because my short shirt tail's too short and it keeps coming out of my pants. Don't you just hate trying to tuck in these short shirts nowadays? They make them so they're made to be out all the time, you know, and I'm still wanting to tuck them in. How'd I get off on shirt tails? My wife and the things she puts me up to. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read 19 through 23. I want us to talk a little bit about what this, where all this is going. Amen? Now, if Paul the Apostle is the author of this that we're about to read, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most pitiable. Pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death, we can add. But since by man came death, that was all started with Adam and Eve's sin. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Oh, let's go on. For as in Adam all die because of sin, even so in Christ all shall be made alive because of His blood that cleanses you. Oh, hallelujah. You see, you need to be receiving the new birth experience so you can move out of the death of Adam over into the life of Christ. Then you get to live forever. Yeah. Let's move. Now, each one that includes us, right? We're part of the each one. Everybody say, I'm an each one. Each one in his own order. Christ was the first fruits. He was the first one. He was the first one to be born again and move from death into life. Hallelujah. And afterwards, Christ was first, and then afterwards, those who are Christ, see the apostrophe S? That means for those who belong to Christ at his coming. Do you belong to Christ? Everybody say, I'm his little boy. No, girls will say, I'm his little girl. Amen? Well, you get to partake in resurrected life too. Christ did it first to make the way for us. And when he gets back, oh, he's going to change some things that need change. And one of those things is your body. Going to change it. My body's going to be so pretty, I'll look like a mannequin. And I'll be able to dance like Fred Astaire. And I'm just as silly as they come. We have hope in this. Because I belong to Christ, at his coming, I get to partake in resurrected life, and my new birth experience is going to surge up into the ultimate experience. Ooh, hallelujah. And it's not just my spirit born again, but my soul is with him and my body is with him. And I'm born again. A new person, a new creature in Christ. A new preacher in Christ. Huh. I don't know why I left out all the good scriptures. Oh, I mean, not that these aren't good, but as I'm going along, I'm remembering all the scriptures I didn't use to shorten the sermon, you know. So why didn't I use that? Okay, we're still in 1 Corinthians 15. Go to verse 49 and let's read about six verses. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, look at somebody and say, you made out of dirt. We are. We're made out of dust, okay? That's Bible, that's medical, that's science. We're just made out of dust, minerals. Minerals. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall, they tell me, now, I'm not a school teacher, but they tell me that the word shall is the strongest word as concerning will or can or shall or it's going to be. When they say shall, it's like there's no way out. When you see the word shall, there's no way out. You can't back it up. You can't change it. You shall. End of question, end of discussion. You shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Brothers and sisters, we have a promise. I'm telling you, we have a promise. We have a promise that can't go bad. To bear the image of the heavenly man. Thank you for calling me handsome. She saw me all dressed up and called me handsome this morning. Right in front of Robert. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait till Jesus gets back and fixes this mess. Amen. Yeah, you're going to fix that mess too. Hallelujah. We have a future in store for us that's so good. So awesome, we don't even have words to explain it. Man, where am I? 50? Now I say this, brethren and sistren. That's not a real word, sistren, okay? Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I saw that on up above the nursery door. Is that the sign we saw above the nursery door? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How did I get that? The sleep it's talking about is the sleep of death. Now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, okay, twinkle your eye, see how fast that is. At the last trumpet, the trumpet literally means revelation of God. The last revelation of who he is, last revelation of who we are in Him, that His trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, dead, raised, and we changed. There you go. Born again just gets gooder and gooder. Huh? Yeah, that means better and better. People who trying to, you know, people trying to learn English from the Spanish world, trying to learn English, it's better if they don't listen to me. Because I don't know either one. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. We ought to make a song out of that, Peter. Death is swallowed in victory. Death is swallowed in victory. I ain't dead no more because I've been born again. You know, we should get together and do this song thing. Oh, death, there it is, second verse. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, Hades, where is your victory? Because I've been born again. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if Peter didn't come up with something before this is over. Amen. He writes songs, you know. Folks, being born again is precious. And you don't have to understand it all. But if you'll just understand a little bit of what we've went over today, you can say with confidence, yeah, I've been born again. Somebody might say, well, you don't look like it, you don't act like it, you don't talk like it. And you say, well, that's all subject to change. I've been born again, and this baby's going to grow up. This baby's going to grow up. My mama's sitting back there, and she's looking at me saying, that baby never did grow up. Peter, I'd like you to get on that guitar and keep the volume real low. And I want everybody to just close your eyes and think about the goodness of God for a minute. Precious Heavenly Father, you are so awesome. And Lord, you know, we're talking about the most serious thing on earth here, and I just feel so lighthearted. I don't know how all that fits together, but I just feel liberty in you this morning, and it's your blessing upon us, Lord, to feel the liberty. But, Lord, even in the midst of liberty and lightheartedness, Lord, we just want you to know we're taking this serious. This is meaningful. This thing about being born again, we do want that. We want it in our lives. We want to experience it. We want to honor and respect being born again. We want to grow up. The new person on the inside of me that has accepted Jesus, Lord, we want him to grow up to be a good citizen in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon each and every person in here this morning, Lord, that they get this. Lord, that they'll get this, that they'll realize what it's all about, and that they'll, for those that need to start the process, that they'll have courage to do that. For those of us that are in the process and enjoying the ride, Lord, I just pray that the born-again experience will be a daily blessing. A daily blessing and a daily change. Lord, you're so good to us. You're just such a beautiful God. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who needs to repent, I pray they do that right now. They just said, Jesus, I mean, right now, you don't have to wait. You don't have to do anything special or religious, just Jesus. I'm sorry. I've sinned, I've done wrong, I've messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want it to be that way. I, with your help, I'm going to change things. Lord, I believe that the new man in me can outrun the old man. The new woman in me can outrun the old woman. The new person in me can outrun the old person. The Christ in me can outrun the Adam. Lord, I believe these things. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says that we must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. This morning, my endeavor this morning, what I'm trying to do is bring you to that point of realizing that you can be born again, that I believe most of you are born again. You just need to develop it, come to understand it better. But the scripture says you not only just believe in God, but you also believe He rewards diligence in seeking Him. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're ready to receive the blessing and the reward that God has for you, just diligently seek Him. When you got a couple of minutes, read some scripture. You got a couple of minutes, talk to Him. Pray. Communicate. He really is your best friend. You can tell Him anything. You're driving down that road to work, you can tell God everything. He sees it all anyway. He just will put it to words. He knows all of our secrets. And He doesn't mind talking about them, because He'll help us adjust things and sort things out. He'll help us get things right. Communication with God is worship with God. It's acknowledging Him and who He is and His power and His greatness. His life-changing power. It's just so good to know that it's not all just going to church. It's about a living experience with God that it's an everyday thing. And the more we give to Him, the more He will be able to reward us. I just feel like maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're in agreement with this, or at least the part you understand, you're in agreement with it, but you just feel like maybe there's a little something more you need to do. And I believe what it is, it's good for us to make a public declaration before God and man and just stand there and say, yeah, I want to be counted. Yeah, I want to be counted with those that believe in Jesus. I want to be counted. I don't care what the world says. I don't care who hates me for it. I want to be counted. I want to be in the number when God calls those numbers. I want to be in the number. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. But you just need to make that public declaration. If that's you this morning, well, just come up here and stand with me, and we're going to do that. I will do it with you. Just come up here, and we're going to make a public declaration right in front of God and everybody that I need to be born again, and I'm accepting God's Word on this. I'm accepting God's Word on this, and I'm going to have a different life from this day forward. If you've never made a public declaration, just come up here, and we'll help you do that. It's so simple, so beautiful. And your own words in doing this will help you and strengthen you. A couple more still need to come. Please don't be bashful. We're all family here. Yeah, they're coming. Come on. Just loosen up, guys. We don't bite. God's not mean. He's not beating anybody up. When you come up at a time like this, it's just another way to honor God and show your honor and your worship for Him. Now, if you've already done this and you're satisfied with your confession, that's so cool. But if there's something still in you that's not quite satisfied with your confession of Christ, we just want to clear that up this morning, clear the air, and then you'll leave this place, dance out of this place saying, I've been born again, man. I've been born again. Doesn't matter how old you are, you may just be a child or a young person or an adult. Age doesn't matter. The new birth is for every person of every age. Every person of every age. Yeah. You guys are doing the right thing. Boy, isn't this cool to see the men coming? Maybe we ought to have put a couple of ladies in there too, you know. It takes a man to do this. I'm telling you, it's not easy. I mean, you'd think, oh, that's nothing going up there. Just try it. It is something. It'll change your life. It's an experience. When you come up and stand before God and man and say, I'm going to serve Jesus, it takes guts. It takes guts. And you've got them. You've got the guts. You have the internal fortitude, so just exercise your right. Let's all stand to our feet. And I'm going to ask everybody to say this prayer with me, whether you're up here or back there. I just feel like this prayer is good for all of us. Maybe you've said the same words over and again. But this is a good refresher course. So we'll know where we're at. Everybody say, Heavenly Father, I need you in my life. And I call upon your Son, Jesus, who died for my sins. And I say, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I really am sorry. Help me, Lord. Help me to enjoy this new birth experience. And help this baby to grow up, to become a mature man or woman of God. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I call upon you. Be my best friend forever and ever. I need you that close. I love you, Lord. Lord, thank you for taking care of my family. Thank you for taking care of those I love. Thank you that we'll all spend eternity with you because we are believers. And we are confessing Christ as our Savior today. In faith, we're going to walk out this process. Spiritually speaking, our new birth process, we're going to walk it from the cradle to the grave. And we're going to walk it all the way to resurrected life. Thank you, Lord, that I get to be a part of your plan for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Everybody take a deep breath. You feel better? Well, take another one. Yeah. What I'd like for you to do now, this is Maldo's favorite part of the service. Give about 50 people a hug and a kiss. Go have the best week you ever had.